Before we start, I think as you all know already, we're learning today Le'ivui Nishmat Shmuel Ben David Yitzchak, Sam Fisher. Okay, I think someone spoke about Sam in every group, so I'm not going to speak right now, especially because I only met him a few times. So I did teach his brother Jeremy, who I enjoyed interacting very much. Just two quick things. One, we have an article that Sam wrote for a Jewish newspaper called The Jewish Star here, so it would certainly be appropriate for people to take a look and read that article. I think one of the ways people achieve a certain kind of immortality is that their words and influence lives on. So it would certainly be appropriate to read. And Rav Dovid thought the topic was appropriate too, because Sam cared very much about balancing different values. And today's year is going to be a little bit about balancing Talmud Torah with other values, so I think it's certainly an appropriate year. And we pray that the family should know Simcha. Okay, I also want to just welcome a couple of guests. It is nice to have Mr. Joey Lipner, who is a father of alumnus of Yeshiva, so it's great to have him with us from California.
Okay.
And Isaac Schultz. Isaac Schultz's beard is getting more scary every day. If you go sit with him during lunch, he'll explain to you why it's a fulfillment of Netzach Shavuot. Go speak to him. Okay? Okay. Let's go to today's topic. Okay? Moi Katan. Okay, so a lot of Mishle is about wisdom. And the wisdom of Mishle is presumably the Torah. So if a pasuk in Mishle, you'll assume that it's a reference. All right, sorry, and I also want to give a mazel to Jonah Wolman. Jonah Wolman. Okay. So I'm discussing, if there's like a missing subject in Mishle, you assume the subject is wisdom. So here we go. How do Yatveh become Ibaylus? There's a question. If you did one pasuk in Mishle, says, Yikara he, it is more precious. Again, if you don't know what the subject is in Mishle, plug in Chachma. So wisdom, the Torah, is more precious. Mipinim, better than pearls. V'kol chafatzecha lo yishavubat. All your matters can't equal it. So Torah gets your matters. Your Torah versus making partner Goldman Sachs. Jonah. Okay, Torah wins. Right, okay, there it is. Okay. So we make a diak. Chafatzecha lo yishavubat. Hachefzei shamayim yishavubat. If your things can't match it, but maybe other heavenly matters can. So it sounds like Torah could have competition. Tefillah, chesed, other things could match up with Torah. Great. V'ktiv, but there's another pasuk in Mishle. V'kol chafatzim lo yishavu ba. Nothing could match it. So it sounds like even in the spiritual realm, Torah always wins. So you seem to have these contradictory impulses. Is Torah the constant winner? Is it ubiquitous champion? Or it's more debatable? So it says the Gemara, no, it's okay. Kan b'mitzvah she'ef shal asota idei achirim. One is a mitzvah that others could do. Kan b'mitzvah she'ef shal asota idei. What's a mitzvah others can't do? So now it sounds like we're talking about even more, it's not just this abstract theoretical value judgment. We are talking about actually a practical clash. I'm studying Torah, and someone says, wait, there's a chesed opportunity across town. So should I close my sefer and go do it? So it sounds like, oh, we got a criteria. What's the criteria? If other people are available, so keep learning, they'll take care of it. If other people are not available, no, you got to stop learning. Okay, that seems like the criteria here. No one else is there to help the old lady. You go help her. Close your sefer. In that sense, chetei shemayim do match up to Torah. But if there's somebody else who can do it, you chose to learn. In that sense, they can't stand up to Torah. Okay, so that seems to be the criteria here. Okay, we're all good to that? Okay, great. Now, some of you encountered this year, there is a principle called osik b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah. Now, in the theory in that sugya, if you guys learned it either in brachot or sukkah, we didn't have this distinction. So in theory, someone could say, how does it normally work? Once I'm involved in mitzvah A, that gives an exemption for mitzvah B. Maybe that's even if nobody else could do the other mitzvah. In which case, Talmud Torah would have this unique characteristic. So only in Talmud Torah, maybe we have this criteria called Eshel Asod Aydehu. Right? Why don't we just apply the normal rule called Osik Mitzvah Patam Mitzvah, which maybe we'll apply across the board. Right, so that's an interesting question. Now, you could make kind of a practical claim. Why don't we apply across the board Osik Mitzvah Patam Mitzvah to Talmud Torah? What would be the practical argument? You can say that, that's it. The person can embark on a life where they never do anything else. Right? If you're a yeshiva guy and all you're doing is learning Torah all day, this would be great. Great for the average writing student. Right? You could be exempt from shachris, you know, from chesed on Wednesdays. It's just great. Right? As long as you learn during the break, actually. Okay? Just learn and you're good to go. Okay? But let's see how that plays out in halachic formulation. Like, why don't we have a blanket exemption of osik b'mitzvah when it comes to Talmud Torah? Simon?
Can you say it's also the value statement? Because if you're like sitting and learning Torah all day,
We're going to say that in a minute. Hang in there. Okay? Shalom hadn't distracted you, might have discovered that half an hour ago. Okay. All right, so let's see what we have here. Let's see how we formulate this, okay? So we're going to go to source 3. Okay, source 3, remember we said the Kovach here was Rav Chanan Wasserman. I mentioned he was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and I think the clearest writer of the Briskers. So you want to get a little sense of Brisker Torah? Love the Shatz. Okay, Rav Chanan is the clearest writer. And remember, he also, if you want to get a good anti-Zionist hashkafa, he's your man also. Okay, so very interesting writer. So that's what he says here. He says Rav Chanan Wasserman. By the way, he was killed by the Nazis, Rav Chanan Wasserman. Near the Tzarech Levatel Talmud Torah B'Shul Kiyum Mitzvah. That you negate Talmud Torah to do a mitzvah. Right, he's noticing this phenomena. Here I'm learning, and I would stop learning to daven a mincha. I'd stop learning to do a chesed nobody else could do. Ein atam should the mitzvah Talmud Torah nidchein mifnei kiyum mitzvah. What would be the wrong way to say it? What would be the wrong formulation? Again, chesed opportunity comes up, I close my sefer and go do the chesed. Do not say that what happened? Chesed trumps Talmud Torah. Okay, don't say that. The mitzvah Talmud Torah gedola mikol mitzvah. Like being a classic, you know, Rosh Hashiv, what does he say? Talmud Torah. It's the mitzvah. So what is happening? El tekemoshim v'tolavatol Talmud Torah b'nei derech eretz. They'll call tzarech lem hechriyechem. What's his analogy? Well, no one ever said, I should say no one, but most Rabbanim will not say, you can't stop learning to, you know, get lunch, you know, go to work, or you use the bathroom, right? Obviously, people have other needs. No one ever said, oh, you can't do that because of Talmud Torah. So mitzvah like that. So what's the formulation? Mishum dechiv Talmud Torah ein achala adam ela b'shashu panui ubatel masiyat rachav. Fascinating. Okay, what does Rav Chanan say? When are you chayav to learn? When you don't have something else, you need to be doing. That's the definition of the chiyuv Talmud Torah, right? It's not that you're chayav Talmud Torah every second. When a person is free from other responsibilities, then they're chayav to learn. Obviously, you can then debate how do we define other responsibilities, because that's a whole category. What other responsibilities include according to Rav Chanan? Going to work, eating dinner, and doing other mitzvot. Those are all part of the world of other responsibilities. Apparently, has the Al Yedei Acherim bit fit in? Well, that's great. If nobody else can do it, then it meets the category, the criteria of other responsibilities. If somebody else can do it, so it's not your responsibility. Then you have to learn. Okay, so we'll find that the Schiddush, Talmud Torah, is a very interesting mitzvah. In some ways, the most encompassing, in some ways, the least encompassing. It kicks in when you're free, as it were. When you don't have other responsibilities lurking. And that's why Al Yedei Acherim now is a criteria for Talmud Torah. Max.
So if you're doing mitzvah you're not chayav in, that means that you come along with mitzvah you would be chayav in, and you would have to leave the one that you're currently taking.
So wait, you asking about Talmud Torah, but two other mitzvah? No, so let's ignore how other mitzvah work as a clash. Okay, we're trying to figure out, does Talmud Torah have this unique criteria and why? Okay. Okay, you're right. It's an interesting question. Well, let's go back to general Osik mitzvah and try to play it out. Okay, but I'd prefer to focus just on Talmud Torah for today.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Fine.
Okay. Where's Gabe Short? Is he there?
Right here.
There he is. Okay. Gabe's hiding in the back because the bad news is this guy's polo has fired him. Okay, they caught him. They caught him wearing a Banana Republic shirt and it was all over. Okay. Okay. Versus an obligation. But I'd like to focus just on Talmud Torah at this point.
Yeah, no, but let's just say, so you can busy yourself with mitzvah all day and not learn for it all.
Okay, that's an interesting question. Okay, so Yoni asked a very interesting question. Quote Rav Chanan, what about the opposite problem? Rav Chanan is explaining why Talmud Torah cannot be used as a blanket exemption of all my other responsibilities in life. But Yoni says, wait, what if I just constantly do chesed, so I'm always, you know, involved, I'm never put away. Yeah, that's a very interesting question. Okay, it's a good question for Rav Chanan, but I'll leave it aside for now. Okay, yeah. Look, that's a very interesting question, which I'm not going to answer, but it's going to take some interesting to look up. Okay, there's a very interesting command in Baba Batra that quotes a fellow named Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla, and it says he did a great thing. Because it used to be that Torah was transmitted from parent to child, from father to son, and at some point in Jewish history, they started to break down, and Yeshua ben Gamla kind of made, for the sake of analogy, an elementary school network, right? And now, even if you don't have the father-son transmission, you still have children learning. Indeed, obviously, a couple of, 2,000 years later, that's what we do. So it sounds like Shubin-Gan was the hero, right? Which he is. But Rav Huttner is very interesting. Ma'amar Rav Huttner says, well, if the original plan was parent-child, that must mean on some level, there's something ideal about that. And there's something lost in the move from the parent-child transmission to the broader elementary school transmission. So that's a very interesting conversation, like, how do you want education to happen? Right? What's in the home? What's in the school? So I realize I didn't really answer your question, but I just wanted everyone to know that piece in Rav Huttner. Yeah.
If Talmud Torah is stopped and we have other responsibilities, how could Talmud Torah exempt you from other responsibilities?
Well,
it doesn't have to be one or the other.
That's a good question, Eric. But I guess the Ali De'achim is really the test case. Like, in theory, if there's a chesed opportunity and I could do it, or Ari Levine could do it. So if I wasn't learning, I don't have to defer to Ari Levine. I might say, I'll run. But since I'm learning, he'll do it. Okay? Good? Okay, let's see another theory here. Let's go to the Meiri. The Meiri Moedkan is going to shift the conversation a little bit. Before we get to his theory, though, what I like here is he also outlines how do we define Eshav Be'Echer. That's also a good question. Like, it could be a lot of great cases. Could somebody else do it? Is it just me? Let's see. Av B'Sham O'osik Mitzvah Pratim Mitzvah. We do have this rule. Ein Talmud Torah B'chlal Zeh. So that's pretty remarkable. How does Meiri formulate it? We don't apply the normal exemption of Osik Mitzvah Pratim Mitzvah to Talmud Torah. We stop learning sometimes. Good. Elamisha Osik Mitzvah V'Ira Mitzvah Liado. Im Efshar La'otam Mitzvah De'achirim. Eino L'vatela. Okay, so if that mitzvah could be done by others, don't stop learning. V'al Tishiveni, don't ask me a question. Bittul Torah L'hotzah Demet L'chnasa Kala. That's going to be an interesting test case here. Okay, now here we go. Oh, we need Yeshua Zerman. He's not here. Okay. Okay, Binyamin Zerman used to be like the wedding crasher of yeshiva. If he knew about any wedding, he would show up, whether he was invited or not. Okay, so let's say he's trying to figure out whether he should go to the wedding or not. Should he go to Night Seder or the wedding? So in theory, we could say to Binyamin, of course you should go to Night Seder. Why? The wedding is Eshar. Even if you don't show up, there's going to be, 250 people there. So you should still learn. Okay, so how do you define Eshar De'Echer? So look what he says. Sha'af heim, e efshar b'chem b'ra'uila. Sha'akol tzrichim lem harbot b'kavod. What's his claim? Why is that e efshar de'achirim? The wedding case? What was the argument, guys? Yeah, but he had something. Now again, I pretty much would assume that does not mean you could crash the wedding. Okay, that probably means if you actually know the chatan kala and they invite you, you had something. But the point is, they want all their friends to be there. They want all their relatives to be there. So in that sense, you really can't be replaced. It's true, like, there are enough people to eat the corned beef without you. But to add simcha, you're needed. So there could be a case where every person matters. Next. Maybe you're the best person to do the job. Keep it up. That's a great category. What else might make it EF Shah Deachirim? What else might be a category of EF Shah Deachirim? Why is lulav a good category? Yeah, because it's your chiyuv, right? It's nothing you could make a shliach for. So I would say we almost have like three categories here. When is EF Shah Deachirim? One is a mass event where your presence matters. One is you have a personal chiyuv. You're supposed to keep it up, you're not supposed to outsource it to other people. And another one might be you're the best person. What if, Ari Levine and I again could do the chesed, but Ari would do it more effectively than I could. So maybe he should do it just because he's the most appropriate person. So we have a number of categories of EF Shar Adech. Good. Now, why is this true, though? So let's skip to the last three lines. V'yafa pi sh'os mitzvah patan mitzvah. Here's Simon Kaufman. Lo nemar kin b'talma Torah. Ol v'ikra li'idia kim shar mitzvah. Mevatano b'shvil kol mitzvah. What was his shita? Well, what's one aspect of Talmud Torah running through Chazal? Limud is meant to bring you to better practice. So it would be kind of funny if limud is to bring you to practice to say, okay, but since I'm learning, I don't have to practice. Exactly your point, Simon. Okay, so now let's just sum up where we are right now. We've said in Talmud Torah there's a split of Eshar Echer and Eshar. We want to know why don't we just do a blanket exemption called Osik B'Mitzvah, Patam in a Mitzvah. What are the two theories on the board? Rabbi Chanan would say, I'm only chayav when I'm free. So if I have another mitzvah that nobody else could do, I'm not free. And the Meiri would say, since learning was meant to be almanat lasot, it can't be that learning will give me a total exemption from other mitzvot. That doesn't make sense, given the internal dynamic of Talmud Torah. Okay, any comments on the two theories so far? We doing well? Yeah, Jacob. Yeah, look, obviously within limits, meaning I know Buchanan was pretty into Talmud Torah, but presumably he didn't think you should make yourself insane. Like if you need, you know, a half hour to watch a basketball game and otherwise, right? Like, look, again, it gets to the gray of what is other needs. But I imagine even Rabbi Buchanan, like, it's true Buchanan probably had a more narrow conception than me of what's valuable in life. But he probably would not say you have to be learning every second of your existence. It's a little bit difficult. Okay, yeah. We're good? You got a second? Okay, great. Okay, let's go now to Rambam, and we'll try to, there's some interesting stuff here. We'll see how things play out. Let's see a couple of Rambam's Hilchos Talmud Torah. This is a beautiful idea. B'shlosh ha-ketarim nechter Yisrael. Israel has three crowns. Keter Torah, Keter Unah, Keter Malchut. Okay, now what's true about all these three crowns? Keter, Kuna, Zacha, Baron. Let's say you really want to be a Kohen. Sorry, it's already taken. Right, Aaron has taken it. Shnema v'aykel ozara ha-chol b'rikunanda. Keter Malchut, the crown of kingship. It's also taken. Zachabo David, Shnemazar, Lolam, Yovikiso, Keshemish Nagdi. And now comes a beautiful line. Keter Torah. All right, so it sounds like it's all over, right? All the good stuff has already been taken. Right, David usurped the monarchy, and Aaron is, you know, has a monopoly on the priesthood. What about Keter Torah? Hari Munach Ba'omeid. What's Munach? It's resting right there. Umuchan Lekol Yisrael. It's relevant to every Jew. Shnemazar Torah, Tzivan Moshe Mikhail Yaakov. Kol Mi Shiyirtzeh. Yavobi Yitol, Yafeh. It's right there. Anybody can take it. There's a certain egalitarian democratic approach here. Torah's right there. Anybody can pick it up. In fact, even though very often some famous rabbis are children of rabbis, there are also famous rabbis who did not come from prominent families. Like Rav Sadia Gaon came out of nowhere. No one knows anything about his ancestry. Okay, so that's it. The Torah's there to be picked up. You could get that crown. What? I'm sorry?
Rekiva.
Oh, good. Rekiva, good example, Simon. Excellent. What? Okay. Okay, there you go. Quite a foursome there. That's good. Hey, Joe, when did you learn about Reish Lakish? Okay, it might depend a little bit on Tosfot, though, right? Do you know the Tosfot there?
No.
Okay, because the Gemara seems to indicate Reish Lakish was abandoned and became a Talmud Chacham. But Tosfot says his trajectory was yeshiva, banditry, yeshiva. Like it was, yeah, take a look at Tosfot there. Okay, so what? Okay, what? A little bit everything. Okay, so let's look at the end of the halakha. Okay. Look, you know what? Let's just write this down. Let's do a brief tangent on this for a second. Okay. What is Reish Yochanan's words to Reish Lakish in that Gemara? I hadar tabacha. What's hadar in Aramaic? If you return. It's a little bit like when we use the phrase today, chozer b'tshuva. So in a sense, it's a little bit of a funny phrase because return usually means you're once there, right? So we would say, maybe we think that somehow every Jew essentially belongs as part of our Masorah, but it's a little bit of a funny phrase. So Tosfot takes it to mean he must be returning to a place he was. So that's Tosfot. Right? Again, you could say it's not Pshat Noir, because that's how Dar Tabacha. Reish Lakish was observant first before he became abandoned and then came back. Okay, in any case, what does the Rambam say at the end of the Halacha? What's the greatest Keter? Halamarta? Keter Torah Gadol Mishneim. So it's not like Torah is where it's at, right? It's the greatest of the three. The one that's open to everybody is the greatest crown. Next, Halacha Bet. If you didn't like, this is good Halacha if you don't want to emphasize the greatness of Torah in Judaism. Amru Chachamim, Mamzer Talmud Chacham, Kodim L'Kohen Gadol HaMa'aretz. Okay? Again, show you how much great Torah is. If you're a Talmud Chacham, wouldn't give your Mamzer that's better than being Ignoramus High Priest. Okay? Halacha Gimel. Ein lecha mitzvah b'chol mitzvah kulan shish kula k'nei Talmud Torah. No mitzvah is shakul. What's shakul?
Weight.
Yeah, weight is equal, right? Why is a shekel called a shekel? Because it's weight, right? A lot of coins are like that if you think about the world. Right? Pounds. Right? Okay. Next. Let's go to lecha dala now. Hayu lefana av asiya mitzvah b'talmud Torah. Okay? So now that we said Torah is so great, what happens when there's a clash? Im ershul mitzvah sadechem, if other could do it, lo yasik tamudo, don't stop, vim lav. But if nobody else could do it, yasam mitzvah, as we've been saying, you stop learning and do the mitzvah. B'yachzor l'talmudo. Okay, anything strike you as a little bit odd or superfluous in those four halachot? Yeah, Jacob. Excellent, Jacob Katz, excellent. a little bit funny, like the Yakzon, the Talmud, like is that like a little muster at the end? Like what's happening? Just say, if I no one else could do it, I close my Gemara and go do the mitzvah. Like why does it have to say and make sure you go back to learn it? Okay, so we're Jacob Machani. Okay.
Somebody else can do it.
Are you trying to explain the Rambam, or you're just saying a separate idea?
No, like a separate idea.
Right. You're right. You have to navigate it carefully. You're right. There's a danger there. I agree. Okay. No, but Jacob, your point is very well taken. Just what's the alternative? Meaning, let's say, again, someone walks to you and says, we need two people to help the blind man in the old city. So it's true there's a danger when he says, well, somebody else could do it. But there's also the possible, all 70 of us go, and then only two are needed. Right? So you have to navigate it somehow. Okay? You're right, we have to navigate it with intelligence. That's life. Okay? I agree, there is a danger there. But I point out, like, the alternative would also create a danger. Yeah?
They just talked about, like, before, we were saying, what does it mean to be, kind of, like, free time? Like, what's the, like, default schedule set there? So now you're probably saying that the default schedule should be at your limits.
Okay, yeah, fair. Nice try, Jacob. Okay, everyone doing that so far? Okay, great. Let us now turn the page. And we're going to see that the Rambam, in theory, maybe contradicts himself. And I have to thank Rav David, by the way, because this is the first time in 3 years of giving Shir Kol that actually repeated a topic. I finally gave in. But Rav David suggested it, and I actually think it's a really great topic. It's a good topic for the last Shir Kol of the year. Can't say I've been the Rambam here. It also saved a lot of time last night when I had to make a source sheet. It was great. Okay. So it says the Rambam, Ish mitzuva al privyavir of Aloha Isha. Okay, so that's an interesting conversation, but not for us right now. When are you chayv in Peruvu? When you're 17. The kibbutz of where Asur Shavu Lona Seisha. Let's say you're 20 and you still haven't gotten married. Or is it over a mavatal mitzvah say? Oh, it sounds like you're all in trouble. Right? You're negating mitzvah say, you're not getting married by the age of 20. But hang on. Don't leave now. Let's keep reading. The imaya osek batora. What if you're busy? The torba. We all know married life might be great, but it does bring responsibilities. Right? You don't have the same freedom to learn and study all day as you would when you're single. Says the Rambam, mutar litacher. Then you're able to push it off, which I would recommend to you guys. Right? I would say that the average 19-year-old should write is not ready to get married, so you should all rely on this Rambam. Okay? Then there's always Zach and your brother always messes up me. I always tell the students, guys, that dating during high school and your first year in Israel is like just a waste of time. You're not going to marry her anyway. So it's always like the Albert Katz who like messes things up. Okay. Okay, go ahead, Dad.
So would Rambam not say it's okay to work, like you graduated and have a job and not be married?
Look, I think there are other excuses. Also, the Tatan Albert Katz. Okay, yes, Zach Katz, it's okay to not get married at the age of 19, even if you're not learning full time. Okay? Okay. All right, so get married. Okay. Okay. So now, let's see how the Rambam... Give me 1 second, Jacob. Okay? But look at his closing line. And what did he say? I could push it off sha'osik mitzvah partim mitzvah. And the Rambam really does something intriguing. V'kolshkein b'tal mitzvah. What's that closing line? Does the Rambam say? If we, in general, have a principle osik mitzvah partim mitzvah, all the more so we should say that with Talmud Torah. Now, on one level, that makes sense, because what the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Talmud Torah, that Talmud Torah is the be-all and end-all of mitzvot. On the other hand, why is it not so great? Because the earlier sources seem to indicate that actually, sequence of other mitzvot applies less to Talmud Torah. Right? That if it's efshar de'acherim, efshar de'acherim, you should stop learning. Everyone at this point? So the Rambam's a little funnier. Sequence of other mitzvot, surely that applies to Talmud Torah. Not only that, what kind of mitzvah arguably is peruvu? What kind of mitzvah peruvu? Is it efshar or efshar de'acher? It's efshar de'acher. So based on the criteria we saw all on the first page, this Rambam doesn't work out. So we have a famous Achronish question, right? We should really say, I'm 19 years old, the mitzvah peruvu is working, nobody else can do it for me. I better stop yeshiva and go get married. I'll come back when I'm married. Right? Why is this the fire that's efshar de'acher? Okay, Jacob Katz, what are you going to say? Interesting. So you think it's achirim because it takes two to tango. Okay. Yeah. Jordan Cutts?
Because you're osik in the mitzvah of dishing out time with the necklace, so you have to learn before you have a kiss.
Yeah, but why? Why? How does switching from Talmud Torah to Vishnan to Lumenecha make it any better?
No, because basically that saying that if you're involved in Osik Torah, Osik Talmud Torah, then you could push off Puru Abu. So the reason for that is because the Torah you're learning is for the
Kingdom. Ah, that is a great chiddush. Okay. Concordance Cone, way to go. Guys, you ever understand what Jordan said? That's actually a very good, nice idea. Jordan says that it's almost taking the Meiri but reversing it. What did the Meiri say? Since one aspect of Torah is almanat lasot, you stop Torah to do mitzvah. So Jordan says something very clever. Since your ability to be a parent might be a function of being Jewishly knowledgeable, so therefore, Talmud Torah is servicing Puruvu. It's very clever, right? That, right? Where Meiri might say, Lewis, look skeptical. Why are you skeptical? Okay, although in general, halacha tries to make universal rules. We don't like always make one by one distinctions, case by case distinctions. I can say, but we should in this case. Yeah. All right, it's not a big question, but I still like Jordan. Jordan, you can still put in your safer, despite Lewis's question. Yeah, Jonah.
Can you say that the mitzvah of Puru Abu isn't necessarily circumstantial, you are time bound? Opportunity will arise.
Okay, good. So Jonah would like to argue, there's a certain category that makes it a little bit funny. Like, it's not so clear how to relate to them. Like, let's say I have a mitzvah called lulav. That's pretty easy. There's one day of the year, or 7 days of the year, I'm supposed to do that. But there are mitzvahs I'm supposed to do in my lifetime. So it's a little bit interesting, very good to think about, like, how do we relate to that? Like, a mitzvah to write a sefer Torah, or the mitzvah to get a brit milah, right? In theory, you could do that at any point in your life, right? Brit milah is a good example. So how do we relate? Peru might be like that. So take a look. Give me one second, guys. It's seven. By the way, seven is also Rabbi Chanan. One of Rabbi Chanan's varim is Rabbi Chanan Wasserman is Kovit Shurim, one is Kovit Tzarot. Look what he says. So he says, "Mavur the mitzvah sheyef shel kaima de'acherim, even if the mitzvah de'talmud Torah, v'lo miyim b'zeh osi mitzvah b'de mitzvah kasha, mashakat v'ram those mitzvah b'de mitzvah koshkin b'talmud Torah." Yes, our question. The my koshkin who's adra b'talmud Torah guru garal nitzah the mitzvah previa he mitzvah sheyef shar l'kaima de'acherim. Here's the question: nobody else could do peruvu for you. You should stop your talmud Torah to peruvu. So I'm going to kane rambam hachlin yin ichur hamitzvah v'lo yin bitul l'gami. There's your line, Jonah. Right, Betoch HaDag, what does he say? You're not negating the mitzvah, you are Yichur. You're just delaying it. Not only that, it's a great formulation. Masha Efsher Lakaima de Atzmo Lachrasman, Havle Kefsher Lakaima de Echerim. That's a very nice formulation. How does Mochan formulate it? Why is it Efsher de Echerim? Yeah, because there's Avi Greenblum as a 19-year-old boy, and there's 30-year-old Avi Greenblum. So what does 19 Avi Greenblum say? I don't have to do this mitzvah because my future identity is going to do this. Okay, this is almost like, I know Rabbi Chanan wouldn't like this, but I do it anyway. It's almost like the David Hume Rabbi Chanan. Right, David Hume like said, there's no such thing as personal identity over time. Right, like you at 28 is not the same you as 19. What makes you the same you as you as 19? Right, so you take it very seriously. You're an Efshal De Achirim. Right, like, what do you mean? Somebody else can do it. Like my future self, he's going to take care of it. Yeah, but I think the main idea is what Jonah said. So maybe Puruvu is different because I could do it at a later point in time. Since I could do it at a later point in time, right, it's not actually there. Mayor, you don't like that idea?
I like it.
Okay, good. Yeah, Moses. Wait, Moses Beebe, 10-second Torah has not appeared in like 3 weeks, right, Moses? You guys know why? Moses doesn't have time for it. Okay. Yeah, Moses, go ahead. Why isn't that the same thing? No, but the different things like
to push off getting married forever. Why isn't that the same thing?
You say when does this run out? Is that your question? No, because it's clear why it's not like lulav. I can't push off lulav because I have a 24-hour period and I have to do it.
Yeah, but in this case...
Okay, that's an interesting question, Moses. Moses wants to know, like, why would I'm 52, and we say to me, Puruvu, you know, my 55-year-old self will do it. Yeah. Or my 63-year-old self. That's an interesting question. Okay, it is a reasonable question, but I'm going to leave it aside for now. Okay? Yeah, Max.
So Zreason is not an operative category?
I would say something different. Very good, Max. Zreason is a category, but it's a value. Exactly. It's not an absolute obligation. Okay, can I give you a good example of this? Okay, you guys, something... If you move to Israel, maybe even don't move to Israel, discover this. This is an interesting phenomenon about Israeli Britot. You ever notice that sometimes the Brit in Israel is like 2 in the afternoon? Everyone got to a Brit this year? Like in America, right, everybody? No Brits ever at 2 in the afternoon. Right? Every Brit's like at 7 in the morning. Right? I don't know. Somehow Israelis are free at 2 in the afternoon. I don't know why. Okay, but so Max, I can ask you a simple question. How could any Israeli ever do that? What about Zrizin, Magdimen, Mitzvah? What's the answer? Zariz is one value. Sometimes it gets balanced against other values. Like if, you know, it's easier for Yosafta to come from Beersheba, okay, so we'll balance that with Zariz. So it's not, we're not canceling Zrizin, but Zrizin was never an absolute obligation.
Okay.
The idea is that you should do a mitzvah quickly with alacrity. Like, don't push it off. Okay, Zarizin, Makdimin, Mitzvah. Zariz is someone who runs to do a mitzvah, doesn't push it off. So that certainly is a halachic value, but it's not the only halachic value. Right? Anyway, Max, if you took your position to an extreme, you would say, like, everyone's chayav to go to the 7 o'clock meeting, not the 8 o'clock meeting. Max, this is going to prevent you from flipping out here. It's okay, it's mostly to go to the 8 o'clock meeting, Max, okay? Yeah, Jacob. Okay, so Ari's a mathematician. He points out whenever you have the kids, they're going to do the same at the mitzvah. Just the question will be these 78 years or the other 78 years.
You might not have kids.
Okay, that's an interesting question. Hold on for that. Okay, let's go to source 8. One more answer to the peruvu question. We'll get to the last thing. Let me just throw this in, Jacob, and I'll take you afterward. Kitzitz Eliezer was a well-known post-tech named Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg. He's Israel in the 20th century. Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, the Kitzitz Eliezer. So he has a lot of medical stuff. Those who most people, he's real. But in the intersection of medicine and halacha, Rav Waldenberg has a lot of psak about it. So he says, "V'nu liyashiv the Rambam, I can solve the Rambam. V'lomer the Rambam said the chemina of seeking mitam tochal mitzvot shebetorah. When do I stop learning? Hainu davka b'mitzvot pratio. Shekol achalchad mechuyev la'atzmo b'shil atzmo. When do we say I stop learning? Mitzvah pratio on me. I have to say kriyat shema. I have to daven." Okay, the tefillah, kriyat shema megillah, halal, kriyat shema luv, the mekim shum chui behem mitzad tikkun atzmo, haloshak meshef shesved acherim, vein memusak hazeh, velchei mafsikin avor kiyumah mitam haTorah. Now here comes something very interesting, guys. So he's saying, individual mitzvot, I have to stop. Wait, isn't peruvu also a mitzvah upon me, qua individual? No. Av amashki, be mitzvah klolit vekefit kepirivivya, this is fascinating. Now, it is true, he says something very interesting. It's almost, you know, I have to put this on my list. It's almost integrating machshava into the halacha. Peruvu technically is a mitzvah upon me. But apparently, I don't only look at the technical obligation, I look at the purpose of the mitzvah. Why is peruvu different than other things? Because the purpose of the mitzvah is somehow seen not on a individual level, but on a communal level. It's a very interesting question. Balancing individual needs with communal needs. A book last night, put that like a good medicine example. Like doctors struggle with this. Like, am I answering what's best for the patient in front of me, or for the collective body of patients? For example, how quick am I to administer antibiotics? It could be for the patient in front of me, they just want to make sure they get better, they want the antibiotics right away. But if I could be creating resistance strands in society, so on a policy global level, it would be better not to administer it. So there's always this, look at the individual, look at the community. It sounds like, how does the Tzitzelezer conceive of Peruvu? Peru is not about, ultimately, you could quibble this, but me having kids, it's about the world needs to be populated. Interesting assumption. You could quibble this. You could say, no, it's an individual mitzvah. Right? Where's that there? But once that's true, what would emerge though, guys? About Talmud Torah. Let's go back to, when do I interrupt Talmud Torah? When it's Efshar De'Echirim. Well, is he going to claim now, in a certain sense? Peru is Efshar De'Echirim. Never got the point? Let's just stop for 1 second. Okay, we have first the chakira, why Talmud Torah gets interrupted. Rabbi Chanan versus the Meiri. Now we have a new chakira. Why does Talmud Torah not interrupt? Why don't we interrupt Talmud Torah immediately for our peruvu? How Rabbi Chanan say it? It's efshar de'echirim in the sense that I'll do it when I'm 8 years old. What would the Tzitzelezer say? Also be quite fascinating. Since the purpose of this mitzvah is communal, right, there should be Jewish kids in the world, right? So in that sense, it's Efshar De'Echirim. Okay, we're good? Okay. Jacob and Charlie, what do you want to say for?
I was
going to
say that just in this debate of like Talmud Torah versus Peruvu,
yeah.
We already agreed that there's a value of like downtime or time of reality in Talmud Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, why are they mutually exclusive? Like, in Talmud Torah, like, downtime.
Jacob, only a single person could ask that question. Joe, you want to answer?
No, my God, it doesn't work out.
Okay. You know, when you get married, life's busy. You know, you have to support your family, take care of your child. Maybe your wife wants to talk to you occasionally. Okay. What? No, but Jacob, you're thinking, you're being like a little bit too much halachic manish. It's true, technically I can fill Peruvu and ignore all other domestic responsibilities, but life is not like that. Like, when you get married, there are a lot of things you have to do. Okay, yeah, you think you're being a little too, you said, don't be like so halachic about it. Like, halacha comes with life also. Okay, when you get married, it comes with other responsibilities. It's great, they're great responsibilities, but they're still responsibilities. Yeah?
But it says, la so ta ayin afer. So, like, even though eventually, of course, it's helping the world, what we're talking about is the actual act itself.
Okay, am I missing that?
So it's not like Ezra al afering, because of course it's eventually help the people, but it's when we're speaking about the action, whether or not you should.
No, but so that you're right, Jacob. It says a big chiddush here. I'm not only looking at the action per se. I'm looking at the desired result. That is a big chiddush. But you could say, you know, I just thought, I'm glad you pushed me this, Jacob. You could say, in a sense, it proves an unusual mitzvah and that it's more result oriented than other mitzvot.
Yeah.
Right? Can I give you a good example of this, guys? Yeah. Okay, that's very interesting. What Jacob's pushing on this. This might be a good chiddush. We're going to say it together right now, Jacob. Okay, which is, in a certain sense, proves the one mitzvah I'm not really in control of. Okay, why am I not really in control of it? Like, let's say you fill Pritz approval by having a boy and a girl, right? So I could have 6 boys off the bat. I could have, you know, 7 girls. I'm just using it to show, like, somehow it's not the action alone. The result is part of the definition of the mitzvah, right? So maybe that works with the Tzitzel Yezer here, that kind of a result-oriented mitzvah. So it's not just my chiyuv, it's producing, you know, families from Yisrael. That's part of what's happening here. And that can be done by other people. Okay? We're good? Yeah, Moses.
If the purpose of the mitzvah is covered and that it's supposed to be that, like, I guess, the population of new people is supposed to increase, why do you stop at 2?
Look, I think, well, wait, I understand. Everything you're trying to accomplish is within limits. Let's say prayer is a good thing. Does that mean you have to pray every second? Like, at some point, it's okay, you move on to other things.
No.
No, but I don't think, isn't that an endless argument? Let's say I said you had 2 boys and 2 girls. Wouldn't you then ask me why do you have to have 6?
Two doesn't replace.
I missed your question. Oh, why don't we define it by replacement rate?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a cute question. I'll think about it. That's an interesting question. You think we should actually demand you have 2.1 kids? Okay. Well, it's kind of difficult to have 2.1 kids. Okay.
Okay.
Well, 2's closer. Okay. That's a great chiddush. Yossi Beret. Okay. Well, Yossi Beret, yes, you can put that in your sefer from the Minchas Chinuch. When the Mitzvah Prove works out, that 9 families have 2, and there's some 10th family after that has to have 3. Okay, well, what a good chiddush. Okay, let's go to one last point here. Okay, so we're going to come back to the idea of the Miri, but I want to show you one Gemara first. It's a very, very beautiful Gemara in Achot. Okay, Asher Shibarta V'Samtam Barot. Of course, there are 2 luchot in the Jewish history. The first set of luchot Moshe breaks after Chet HaEgel. But what's he told to do with them? Don't throw them out, but put them in the Aron. Beautiful Gemara, come on, guys. Tani Rav Yosef, Malame, this teaches you, Shehaluchot V'Shivrei Luchot Munuchin Baron. What's in the Aron? Both luchot, the second set that are whole, and the first set that's broken. Look at this Gemara. Mikan L'Tamen Chacham She'Shachach Talmudo Machmer Onso She'Eino Bo Minag B'Zeh. What a beautiful Gemara. Let's say you have a scholar who gets old. We all know, like, thank God we live longer these days, but old age comes with difficulties. You meet an 82-year-old Talmud Chacham who's unfortunately lost his mental capacities. What does the Gemara say? You should still have great respect for him, because what's he like? He's like Shivrei Luchot, right? Someone who was once Luchot, just like the Shivrei Luchot end up in your own. So you have great respect for the Talmud Chacham. So I just tell you, like, a beautiful story about this. Some of you may know there's a Rav in Malei Dumim named Rav Chaim Sabato. Okay, you guys were here. So when he's not giving Gemara Shir, he's a novelist in his spare time. He's actually a very popular novelist in Israel today. So he is a novelist. He has a novel about the Aleppo community, about the Syrian Jewish community, which in Hebrew is called Emetz Meretz Tetzmach. In English, they translate as Aleppo Tales, which is obviously not a precise translation. Okay, Moses, have you read it?
Yes.
Ah, you're a serious guy, Moses. Excellent. Jacob Mitrani, I know it's not from Turkey. Have you read it? Oh, good. Or Italy. We're waiting for that Italian novel to come out.
That's why I didn't read it.
Okay, you should write the novel about Italian Jewry. Okay. So he has a beautiful story about a Talmud Chacham who comes from Aleppo to Yerushalayim, and no one recognized him. Think about it. He was a Talmud back in Aleppo, but nobody knows who he is over here. And it's a very sad story, but the title is Luchot V'Shivrei Luchot Munachim Baron. It's a very powerful story. Okay, here we go. Next. Amar Reish Lakish. Pamim, sometimes, Shebitula Shel Torah Zeu Yisoda. Breaking Torah is actually founding Torah. It's actually a furthering of Torah. What's this example? Tichtiv Asher Shibarta, famous phrase now, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe, Yasher Kochacha Shel Shibarta. If you ever know what the source of Yasher Koch is, now you know. It's this Gemara Menachot. What does the Gemara Menachot say? God says to Moshe, as it were, where you go, that? You broke the Luchot. That was good Luchot. Okay, so what did the Reish Lakish want to derive from there? That breaking Luchot is a furthering of Talmud Torah. Okay, now if you look at Rashi there, Rashi says, but we're expanding beyond the Luchot paradigm. Source 10, Shebitula Shel Torah, Kim Kagon Shemavatal Torah, Lo Tzad Ameid, Ulachnasat Kala. What's another example of Bitula Azel Yisoda, or Bitula Azel Kiuma? What would be the example? When I'm not, I close my learning to go to a wedding, go to a funeral. Okay, whose idea is this reminiscent of that we saw earlier today? Bitula Azel Kiuma, by stopping Torah, and furthering Torah. Who said it? Yeah, who said that, Giselle? Who said Miri? Everybody? Very good, that's exactly right. This is less like Ochan, more like Miri. What did Miri say? Why do I stop learning in order to do mitzvot? Because Torah is meant to lead to performance of mitzvot. So Rabbi Yitzchak Hutner, the Rashi of Chaim Lin, loved this idea. Look at his Shavuos volume, he says this like five times. Okay? So he calls it Bitula Zeo Piyuma. So he said, what's going on here? That when I stop learning to do mitzvot, don't view that as I'm stopping to learn. I'm adding a dimension to my Talmud Torah. My Talmud Torah till now is just Talmud Torah. Now it gets the added feature of being Limud Amanat Lasot. So it's not really that I ever stop learning. It's just that when I stop learning to other things, I add dimensions to my Talmud Torah. That would fit in beautifully in Rashi Pshat on the Gemara Menachot. Source 11 is where Rav Hunter says, I'm not going to read inside, but realize that's what he's saying. That's the Yasher Koach. Right? That this itself is a furthering of Talmud Torah. Okay, Simon?
Do you think this Reish Lakish source can prove Tosfos? Because he's basically saying, Reish Lakish is the one saying that having Torah, breaking Torah, returning to Torah, strengthening Torah.
Oh, that's clever. That's very clever. Look, prove is a strong word. It's a clever connection you're making. Okay, let's leave out the word proof. Okay, but that's very, very clever, Simon. Okay, let's see one last source and we'll wrap it up here. Okay, let's go to a famous Tosfos and Brachot. So Tosfos and Brachot, maybe I'll do it outside, wants to know the following. It says, what happens when Torah, Talmud Torah is obviously a mitzvah, most mitzvot have a bracha. Indeed, we make birkat Torah every morning. So there's a birkat of mitzvah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Great. What happens if I stop learning and come back to it? Do I make a new bracha? No. One bracha carries me through the whole day. Wait, but in other mitzvot, it's not like that. Think about the mitzvah of sukkah. If I have, you know, bagel and cream cheese for breakfast, I make a leishi of a sukkah. I go out of the sukkah and go to work. Then I go into the sukkah and eat pizza for lunch. Make another sukkah. So why should Talmud Torah be any different? Maybe I should make one bracha on morning seder, one bracha on afternoon seder, one bracha on night seder. Wouldn't that be great? Right? Why doesn't it work like that? Okay, so that's the famous Tosfos and Brachot that asked the question. Okay, if you look at Tosfos' answer, what is Tosfos' answer? Okay, I'm in the end of the second line in source 12. The Yesh Lomer Deshani Torah She'eno Miyayish Dato Tekol Shad Mechuyev Lomod. Now, what does it sound like Tosfos is arguing? Well, I'll tell you what it means. That when I stop learning in a certain sense, I never really do. Okay, but sukkah, I generally stop. So seeing Talmud Torah is one continuum, right? So at that point, it's one continuum, and I'm fine. I never really stop learning, and therefore I don't have to make a new birkat Torah. But when I leave the sukkah, I genuinely leave the sukkah. Now, the question is, what does Tosfos mean on a deeper level? Like, what do you mean I never stop learning? Like, if I'm in my law firm thinking about the case, I stop learning. I'm involved in the law firm. So what's going on, Mayor?
So it kind of looks like saying that the way we learn Torah is having to bring it into our whole lives.
Oh, now we're talking. So if you think for a second, very good, Mayor Dolphin. Okay, Yeshiva Bully, way to go. Okay, so Mayor's having a great idea. This would fit in perfectly. Maybe our Slavichik's a famous alternative here, which I think what David did with somebody recently. But let's leave this out of Slavichik now. This would fit in beautifully with a Hunter and the Meiri. What are Hunter and the Meiri arguing? That the most authentic Jew knows how to integrate his Talmud Torah with the rest of your life. That the rest of your life is a realization of what you were doing in the Talmud Torah world. So at that point, it doesn't mean literally you're thinking about everything. You're thinking about Talmud Torah in the law firm. But what you're doing in the law firm is a fulfillment of the Torah. It's an expression of the limud. But you can't say, when I leave my sukkah to go play basketball, oh, my basketball's an expression of my sukkah sitting. Right? It has nothing to do with it. Right? And therefore, sukkah is a real break. But in limud Torah, there isn't. By the way, just before I'm taking closing comments and review, I think this is a perfect last year callie. Because you think about it, we're going to finish yeshiva soon. And people are going to move on to other things. But please God, we should all be successful at doing those other things in a spirit of Torah values, at which point it's not a break, but it's a further fulfillment and continuity of what Talmud Torah is all about. Yeah, Jacob.
So the one about when other people are able to do it, it's still miserable for you to go help somebody out, somebody else can go help that person out, but you're told to...
Look, I think you have to say that Halakha is trying to negotiate a delicate dance here. Like, we want your Talmud to realize other things, but you still have to learn. Like, because again, you always have the opposite danger. You could define things so that I never have to learn. There's always something else to do. So I think in that balance, this is the way halakha tries to navigate it. Right? Again, just realize what the other extreme would lead to. Right? I never learn anything because there's always some of the mitzvah to be done. Right? So I think the way of navigating is this Epshal Adei Achayim criteria. Yeah, Moses. Okay. How does that... I don't think the gears should change. Would change his idea. Okay. Anybody else with a comment or question? Okay. Very quick. Yeah, John.
I have a couple. So if someone walks in, if I can understand the difference between like a wedding, you don't like kind of go across at a wedding. If someone walks in and like try to carry a table out, they need help, and there are a bunch of guys in the base. They're all learning. Who is? Those guys are all like mitzvahs. We're all learning.
Look.
Do you become chayav because no one else can do? They're all putter.
Look, I'm going to say a difficult idea, but I have all sikha about this. I'll do this some other time. Actually, I'm running out of time, but I can't do it now. But it could be how you define efshar de achirim is a subjective judgment. There isn't an objective rule to that.
Okay.
Okay, and you could define your case as efshar de achirim.
Right.
I think about it. Let's say you see one person really struggling carrying a heavy item. Right. In theory, they'll make it. But you could alleviate their plight by carrying it with them.
Right.
So I admit, one guy could say, okay, that's Efshar de Achirim, but right. I think you could define that as Efshar de Achirim.
In that case, shouldn't you, if you're learning and someone needs help and other people can do it, but shouldn't, I feel like it's you can learn, but I feel like at one point you'd be using it as an excuse, I don't need to help out. Don't you have an idea of this one?
But how can you apply that principle to this case? I have two mitzvot in front of me.
But
you can't say don't give up mitzvot. That begs the question.
Because I feel like if I'm helping someone do X, I can help someone else do Y. But if you're learning, you're not doing an action.
No, but you're doing mitzvot A and mitzvot B is there, so it's an open question which mitzvot you should do. Okay, very brief review, guys. So what do we say about Talmud Torah? If you're learning another mitzvah comes up, when do I stop? If nobody else can do it. Give me two categories if nobody else can do it. Nobody else can do it because... it's a personal chiyuv, or because? What about a wedding?
Everybody adds
simcha. Okay, great. Why is that true? Why don't we say osk mitzvah pedem mitzvah? If I asked Rabbi Chanan, he would say, I'm only chayav to learn. I don't have other obligations. If I asked the Meiri, he would say, learning is meant to lead. So it's not an hour Rabbi Chanan formulated. You're not stopping your Talmud Torah. You're furthering your Talmud Torah. That's what Menachem means, bitula zeu kiyuma. Why don't we say that Puravu is a mitzvah that nobody else could do, and therefore you should stop learning to do Puravu? Rabbi Chana would say, the Achirim is you in 8 years, right? The Tzitzit Ezer, Baruch Shachidah, says, this is a result-oriented mitzvah, and therefore Am Yisrael can be populated by other people. So it's Efshal de Achirim. Finally, we pointed out, this might explain the Tosfot and Brachot, that's why you don't have to make another Birkat HaTorah. And I said, it's a good closing idea for the year to think about. right? That again, we're not going to be in yeshiva our whole lives. That's fine. That is totally legitimate. Okay, even maybe ideal. At the same time, the rest of the things we do should be a furthering of Talmud Torah. And indeed, in that sense, it is all a continuum. All right, everybody have a great day. Yeah, John Kennedy.